All right, everyone, get ready for a long episode.
Cedar Sinai. Shifty work into the box. And across. It's in. Oh, it's LaRue. It's a dream return.
Welcome to Casual FC, an Angel City preview pod. I'm your host, Mario Salazar, with my task managing co-host, Angela Morales.
I'm more like a list maker these days. I don't know how many of those tasks are actually being crossed off, but here we are.
The list just keeps growing.
Honestly, there's 50 now.
It's all right. My list doesn't even start most of the time. So this is our preview for our match on Friday, April 26th. It's going to be Angel City versus Kansas City Current. Again, so soon.
So soon.
But it is what it is. We will be at BMO. And the game will be at 7 p.m. It's going to be streaming on Amazon Prime since it's a Friday match. It will also be broadcast on iHeartRadio, so listen to our favorites, Isaac and Tracy. And it will be broadcast in Spanish on the radio, also on 980 a.m. La Mera Mera. And it's the special college night, so you have to have, if you've seen the ads for it, you have to have a special ticket to get that. I think it's at Silicon Tumblr, which I'm interested to see that I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Yeah.
But it's a college night Tumblr. They're trying to do a whole thing of whatever college gets the most like registrations will get a thing on the screen. I don't know what they're doing, but there's a cool Tumblr. People want it. You need a special ticket to get it. If you are a season ticket holder and you want one, contact the tickets at angelcity.com email address or the season tickets at angelcity.com. Look at their posts. We asked, they responded, and email them as a season ticket holder and say, hey, I'd like one. They'll tell you how much it is. I believe someone said it was $15. That's how you can get it. But you do have to register. It's not one of those like giveaways at the gate. So just be aware. There are other college nights that are going to be happening in June and in September. They may not be the same promo item, but those are coming if those are the things you're into.
I'm into those things. I need to email my ticket rep actually the second we finish recording.
I
need that cup.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a Friday. I would have made it to the game because I work. We both work mm-hmm. fairly close to the stadium. Schedule this week got a little wonky, so I am actually going to be working from home that day, and I won't be able to make it.
But I'll be there. I'll be there with family, and I will have stickers and my last three packs of Parkside cards. I think I have three. I don't know.
Pack. Yeah.
Yeah, big shout out to Parkside. Thank you so much for sending us a million packs of cards. We made a lot of people happy. Made a lot of little kids happy.
Made a lot of people aware of the cards. The people I was giving them out to had no idea there were trading cards for the NWSL. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, they do.
And There's a family that sits in our section. And it's usually this guy and his daughter. Occasionally, I think it's his son that comes, but it's usually his daughter. And she is just my favorite in our section, like my favorite little kid, because she's just so invested. It's along the same lines where I don't know how soccer invested she is. I think she's more like Maddie's level of, this is the coolest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
And so I swung by their seats. They sit like a row down and over some from me and gave them trading cards and stickers and like a pin because she has a bunch of different like ACSC pins on her little season ticket holder clear bag. And I was like, oh yeah, girl, I got you. And they were both like, oh my gosh. So it was very fun. I'm very glad I did it. I get really nervous. I don't think people realize that. I get very nervous talking to strangers.
I have handfuls of stickers in my pocket ready to give out. But then I get so nervous to be like, Here, listen to the podcast. Sticker? You know what? If anybody wants to help out, I will gladly give you a stack. And if you have friends that around part. You, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. I will 100% dole them out. I'll give you like 20 stickers to give away, to put on your own stuff, whatever. But yeah, we both get really nervous. And it's very funny. Like, it's funny to me knowing that I can get up in front of a room of 1,000 people and give a presentation and it doesn't faze me. But talking to a stranger about this podcast, nope. Hard pass. Really quick, before we get into too much, I want to give a shout out to Dustin, who recognized me outside of a coffee shop on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Before the game. Yeah. Eva and I were walking up and across the street, and I'm just like half asleep, just zoned out. Okay. We got a lot of stuff we got to do today. Game's tomorrow. Okay. And the last couple weeks have been really stressful. And so it's just this, I just want a coffee from my favorite coffee place in the Valley. And we're walking up and I just hear, hey, Casual FC, right? And I was like, huh? And Eva was just like, yeah, this, she's been hyping me up to everybody that we've seen, but thanks for saying hi. I pulled out like stickers. I was like, take these things. Yes. Definitely go to Coffee Fix in Studio City. It's fantastic coffee, fantastic people.
And more stickers there too. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably drop some more off this weekend if they're gone. All right. Getting into the Chaos Award. Match day 5, all of last weekend. My voice is still like this from Sunday, FYI. I'm not trying to be all sultry on the pod. I just sound like this. But the Chaos Award could have gone to many...
many things.
The debut of Barbara Bonda versus Kaylin Sheridan. That alone.
That was...
There were
just highlights after highlights of that match.
Absolutely. There were goals on goals. There were 28 this weekend. Claire ended up scoring the 100th goal of the season during our match on Sunday. We, unfortunately, as a collective fan base of the league, lost two more players to ACL tears, Alex Awera from Bay FC and Ava Cook from the Red Stars and the national team. This is... I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. There's research that's already been done. I just want to know how it's being implemented. I have questions to folks in charge. A lot of questions, because this is bad. There's over since the beginning of the year, or like the end of last year into now, there's over a dozen players who are down with ACLs and other injuries as well. Bunny Shaw also went down for any like yeah, WSL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Broken foot, out for the rest of the season. Like this, I'm mad. This is bad. Overall, knee injuries, ban them. Nobody wants them. We're sick of these players.
It's upsetting, like, to know how many of these happen and how often and frequent they are. So knowing that there is research, although we do know that there needs to be a lot more research on it, but like knowing that
there's still so much that's already been done. That's the thing.
But yeah, and again, like you said, it wanting to know how it's being implemented or how things happen, right? Like, it's an active impact type sport. Like, you are going,
you're pushing the contact limit. Sport, you're pushing the limits on what your body can do and also what it can absorb.
But how frequently this happens is very concerning. So it's just no more, please.
Yeah. Between the knees of it all and the trade deadline, I'm giving my Chaos Award to the trade deadline as an Angel City fan. I have big thoughts, as does like the majority of the fan base. We were jokingly referring to it as disgruntled fan base FC this weekend. Everybody was just so grumpy at BMO. I'm so happy that so many people showed up. We sold out BMO and like fully committed to supporting our players, regardless of how people feel about the trades that happened at the nth hour this last week. For those who somehow missed it, we traded Amandine Henri to Utah for $7 and some change. We also traded our beloved Paige Nielsen to Houston for not enough money, 50,000 allocation, 50,000 transfer, and that's where people are mad. And I think a big part of the reason why there's not as much hullabaloo around Bandy's trade is because people are more just confused. And we didn't have the same amount of time with her on the team that we did with Paige. Yeah. Paige has been a day one, number one.
Yeah.
She gave up a rib. We've talked about it. And I'm very grateful that I had the wherewithal to mention the two of them in the last episode against Kansas City, actually, which is weird. But I'm very happy that I decided to do that as early as I did. I just had a gut feeling. No, it's Paige, man. Like, this is who I want to talk about this week early on. There were people calling for boycotts of the team and talking a whole bunch of smack to players.
That's not cool, people.
Don't do that. Don't do that. It's not the player's decision. It's whether it's the players being traded, the remainder of the team. They are very rarely involved in the big business part of the trades. Be grumpy at the FO. Be grumpy at the front office. Deep down, I am. I'm trying to be really cool about it, but my feelings got hurt.
I think I'm not as upset as you are. Only in that, to me, I've always understood the business side or chess game.
Same.
that is Same. any team sport, right? Not to be disrespectful, but the asset of the player, right? The player is they're building up your team, or if they're not working, then you find someone else to trade them. And to the other piece that needs to fit within the team. So you play this chess match, right? And it works. Sometimes it doesn't. There's been many reports of players in the Premier League and things like that going for tons and record-setting money, and then they're complete trash, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they're complete trash because
they weren't great.
Or they just got put in the wrong system, and so things weren't quite working out. And I think one of the reasons that everyone is upset, it was because Paige was working.
Yeah. And there was also a very loud statement made by the team from the jump, and then in a documentary, of we're not gonna trade players who don't want to be traded.
But wasn't that only like year one? That was the anything.
Oh, I don't know.
So I took all of that from, and that was one of the initiatives put in. So when we did the expansion draft, when we did our regular draft, when we started signing players, it was like, look, this is the team that we're building. We want them to work together as best they can. And so we are giving them the confidence of you're not being traded.
Yeah.
But I believe that was only for a year. It was to say this first year, don't worry about being traded in the middle of the year because something's not working. We will make it work. And unfortunately, that's one of the things that kicked
that
us
hurt
in the
butt. Us that first season.
Yeah, because we because of so many injuries that we couldn't and we already promised that we weren't going to do anything to
I forgot about that part, and I don't know if it was only for the first season, but I think that's what a lot of people are holding on to. You told us this, and there wasn't like a clear definition, so to say, of we're just going to hold on to this for the first season, and then after that all bets are off. But I think it's the difficult part for me is I don't like Texas for a lot of reasons. The bugs and humidity are like top five. The rest of it is very political. I have a bunch of family in Texas and I'm just like, nah, you can come here. But it also really frustrates me that we're trading a very openly out player to a team, one that's in Texas, that is in a very like hostile environment. Whether or not Houston is or is not, isn't necessarily what I'm concerned about. You can't move freely around the state very easily without, like, you can go to big cities and you're fine, but it's questionable. And as we get closer to the election, it's going to get harder regardless. But on top of that, we're trading one of our best players to a team that is sketchy at best right now, coaching-wise.
Okay, coaching wise, okay.
I was going to say big questions about WTF, like big capital WTF is happening in Houston because they haven't held on to a head coach. Their interim isn't getting hired as their head coach, even though she's been the interim like twice, three times, whatever it was. Like, you have a goalkeeper coach who is dating a player who's no longer on the team, is playing in Chicago, but is now dating another player and is getting... That's the concern that I have. There's, oh, we have to keep players safe. Are you?
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of hand motions because it's like, oh, what more do we have to beg for at this point to keep players safe and to keep players in an environment that is conducive to keeping them safe and healthy and like mentally in a good place?
For everyone, I wish you could see. I wish we did do video at this point because this was definitely like the millennial Zoom of, we, you know, you pause and you like zoom in and out and you're like, uh-huh. Like, that's a lot of what was going on because it, understandably, I will say that since the trade deadline, there's been a flurry of news and signings for Houston. So
they lost the biggest signing of the season for their team.
Yes.
She at one point had the largest contract in the NWSL and the largest contract of any Mexican player. She's now playing in San Diego, which I have thoughts about as well, but whatever. But overall, don't boycott the players. Don't boycott the actions that they're out of, that are out of their control. If they're making bad decisions vocally, like the players themselves, sure, do whatever you want. But like, if it's a trade, there's only so much people can do. I know somebody who was a huge Dodger fan when we were younger. Mike Piazza got traded to the Mets and he never cheered for the Dodgers again. And I'm like, okay, sure. But that's a team decision. I get it.
Yeah.
But don't walk away from the team.
Like Angela said, the team has nothing to do with this. It wasn't like there was like the team said, we're not playing with her anymore. No, that's not what happened. And so there's no reason to attack the players or boycott the players. Like, that's not what it is. And yes, you're upset with the FO. Be upset with the FO. I'm doing air quotes, but boycott the FO if you want. But also realize, as I was saying, it's a chess match. Yeah. It's a process. There might be something on the horizon. We have no clue. I'm just trying to say things happen. Am I upset with the trade? Yes. Is there anybody else I would have thought would have been better? No. I don't want anybody to leave on our team. I love our team the way it is. And I'm like, we have a nice little bow wrapped on it.
Exactly.
Can better things happen? Possibly, right?
Yeah. And I think the big sticking point and a big hard part for a lot of us is that in so many of these trades and movement that happened in the last few days of the trade window and coming up to the deadline, we got cash. We didn't get players. And there's speculation as to why. It's opening up roster space because that's two spots. We were at 26 of 26 spots. We're now down to 24. Rumors be swirling.
You know what? You can look those rumors up. We're not going to push those rumors.
No.
It is what it
is. One, I don't want to break my own heart. Two, I don't want to get my hopes up. I just can't. But overall, I'm so bummed about these trades. Sports are weird for so many reasons. And as much as they put our heartstrings through the ringer, they put the players through the ringer as well, just to do what they love. And the least we can do is continue to support our favorites. I love women's basketball. We talk about that here all the time. I no longer have a favorite team in the WNBA because I've been following it for my whole life, like for 2/3 of my life, longer than that. I don't even know how old I am. 75% of my life. And I was 10 when the league started. I love these players. They are role models. They are for me, I should say, not obviously for everybody, but they're people I look up to in the way they carry themselves and the way they handle different situations. And I've learned so much through sport, both playing and watching. So do the same thing here. I'm not going to stop following Paige's fantastic career because she's in Houston. I'm not going to buy a jersey because I don't like the color orange. I don't even let Mario highlight my notes in orange because I don't like it.
But I did notice that, yes.
Yeah. It's also, I went to Long Beach State. It's Cal State Fullerton. They're orange and blue, and I'm not about it. But that's a big part of the reason. I've just never been fond of orange. And for Mandy, I'm not buying a Utah jersey because their jersey sponsor, not great. Not great. There's a lot of very not great iconology and situation going on with that sponsor. Yeah, but does that mean that I hope that they have a horrible time? No. Maybe when they play us, but not overall.
Yeah, no. I hope you have an amazing season. You break records. You achieve what you want to achieve. But just know that when you come back to BMO, you are playing Angel City. We are Angel City. So
yeah,
good luck.
Deep down, we're homers. I'm still going to root for this team.
Yeah,
probably to much more heartbreak than anything else at this point. But
very much, I will clap for you at the beginning.
Yeah,
and then from whistle to whistle, you're going down.
Yeah, and so. I hope, like, we had made plans to meet up with Paige's sister, like, this last weekend.
Yeah.
So I hope in May, when Houston isn't down and she's there, I hope, like, we can still extend that invitation, because I would love to at least get her some Casual FC merch and let her know. The Nielsen family is forever part of Angel City, I think. And
as I posted on the various posts about her, once an angel, always an angel, she is always going to be here. Everybody was super excited for Mandy to be here. Mm-hmm. And the times that she was out on there was amazing. And so we wish you both the best. We love you both. But not in our house.
Exactly. But I hope we play very well whenever we play against them.
Yes. Okay. Now, quick roundabout. Changing gears. Quick roundabout now, for...
Angela puts away her soapbox. So get your shit together, everyone. Stop being weird. Don't piss off Sarah Gordon. She was big mad. Rightfully so. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, if you're tweeting stuff, if you're posting stuff, the players are going to see it.
They see it.
They see everything. Don't be weird.
Remember, yes, you're anonymous behind a name, but they see it. And you're not really that anonymous. So just don't be an a-hole. Although I did repost today, there was an awesome gift. A fan in the supporter section, I believe she was part of the Pandas, gifted our Iron Woman,
oh yeah,
an Ironheart helmet, and it's a pink helmet. It looks awesome. Let me look her up.
Yeah, it's quick. Pandemonium. It's somebody named Sarah.
Sarah.
So, it is so cool.
Why can't I click on the...
Oh, and they put in on the back, it's like Sarah Gordon, Iron Woman, Angel City 2023. Oh, I love this.
Yes, Sarah, that was freaking dope. It's just awesome, and more to you for doing something like that. She deserves it. Okay, so back to our roundabout of the NWSL. Around the league scores, surprisingly, no draws this week.
No, just big goals. Big goals on goals.
Yeah. We started off with Orlando versus the Wave, and they won 1-0. Spirit won over the Gotham 2-0. Racing over Utah 5-1. Current over Bay 5-2. Portland finally coming back to life 4-1 over Houston. And then Chicago over Seattle 2-1. Funny enough, just looking at all of this, like, all the home teams except for Chicago won. The only traveling team that won, that picked up points this weekend, was Chicago. Which brings us to our match. Amazing, raucous, super fun match of the weekend. It was the last one of the weekend. Angel City versus the North Carolina Courage at BMO. 2-1. I missed two of those three goals. But luckily I saw one of ours, so that was great. Tyler Lucy scoring in the 73rd minute for the Courage. And Emsley. Claire freaking Emsley with the brace. 23 minutes and 55 minutes. Both amazing. You know how much I missed the first goal, the free kick? I missed it by a minute. My son had to go to the restroom. So I took him to the restroom. As soon as we were walking out of the restroom door, like literally we passed the threshold.
Oh, and I hear,
ah! And I'm like, oh, man. And I'm holding him. We're looking at the TV that was right there. We got to see the replay.
Yeah, that's good.
But, and then her 55-minute goal, my, like I said last time, my daughter's school had a mother-daughter day at the stadium. She went to go sit with all her friends. After halftime, I went up there. I was hoofing it up there, although I really do the view up there. It was amazing. But once I got up there, I literally was like walking through the aisle to get to the seats. I turned around and I just see Emsley running and I'm like, yeah. And then everybody blows up. It was just amazing.
Well, chip and dip of a goal was so good.
So good.
So good. It was so much fun watching her connect. This is what I've been waiting for. Not to say she hasn't had goals and total bangers for the last couple seasons, but like this Claire Emsley is different. I'm going to stop talking about this because I'm going to talk about her later. But okay, yes.
So with all Mario
was doing a tour de BMO, running around.
Oh, yeah.
Jamesini was in like four different sections.
Okay. I went on a mission to look for churros for the kids because they really wanted, like the churro guy came up. His machine didn't work, so we couldn't pay for it. I ran around. My watch, I was moving around so fast and like around the stadium so many times that my watch logged it as a workout. I got 0.6 miles of just running around this stupid stadium looking for churros and never found any. But beyond the point,
that's awesome.
We're back. We were saying that win 2 weeks ago now, it was an ugly win, but a win. It was 3 points, so no matter what. And then guess what? This was a win. This was a stamp it, send it off. That was a win. Angela found a crazy fact by someone named Maggie on Twitter. We'll have to repost and show the handle. But the North Carolina Courage have never actually won at BMO and has always been a 2-1 scoreline. So the last 3 years, whenever they've come here.
The season or the Angel City home opener.
Yeah.
First game of ever at BMO at the bank at the time was when we beat them the first time. And then the second time, it was just like, oh my gosh. And then now, but yeah, every single time it's been 2-1. And I went and I double checked it because I didn't think it was true, but it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bank was definitely buzzing. Everybody was excited. Yes, there were some sour faces at the beginning of the game, but by the end of it, it was just like, and me and all the casuals in the stadium were excited. Like there was I'm going to say there's a good portion of the people that didn't know what was going on with the trades and stuff,
right.
But you know what? You let them get there, right? You let them get to the point where they're like, what happened to my player? Mm-hmm. Right now they're enjoying it and let them enjoy it. So
it was amazing. This win felt like the team telling, Eva said this in the middle of the game, this feels like this team bonded together over this even more and said, this sucks, but we're still here.
Yeah.
And if you show up, we show up. And that's exactly what it felt like.
Now, we were talking about the yips last episode.
Oh, and I remembered what it is in gymnastics. It's the twisties.
Ah, the twisties.
It's where your equilibrium messes up. Yeah. It was bothering me all week.
Very appropriate name for not being able to get your bearings. Okay, so question to you is, can the yips be cured with an assist, or does it have to be the actual goal? Because Thompson, Alyssa Thompson, got the assist on that second Emsley goal.
Yeah.
Was that enough? That partially. Was that a good enough play, a good enough run, a good enough set of passes to be like, get your confidence back and get rid of the yips? Or was that like step one?
I think it was step one, because now she knows she can, if there's somebody running, she can connect with them and boom, it, she can be the person to start the chain of events, or not necessarily start, but get, be a catalyst in that. But I think her goal scoring has to actually happen, has to happen in order for the yips to really settle down. Okay. Because that's totally what it is. And I'm just like, oh, you got this. Like, there's, do you glimpses. Know who you are? Yeah, it's there. We all see it. And I think, do you, that's, know part what your name her. Is? Yeah, exactly. Do you know who you, what is it? Do you know who I am? Do you, one of those, don't you know who I am? It's, yeah, we do. But do you remember?
Yeah.
And I think this game is going to be like a turning point for Alyssa. Because of how well she played, she was better on the ball. She got bodied off of it a couple times, but I think it's just because she's small. I want her to put some muscle on, and when somebody knocks her, she can just knock them back.
Yeah.
But that's going to come with like age and access to things and stuff like that. But yeah, I really think that the second she puts a ball in the net, as long as it doesn't get called back, knock on wood, it doesn't. But I really think that's going to be what's going to, like, oh no, but that's going to be what really changes the game for her is the second she connects it. And then it's all going to settle in her body and be like, okay, cool. We're good.
Yeah. And I'm so glad the way the game ended. My, like my daughter's group was, they were all excited. They were all being loud, which I love. A lot of them, it was their first game ever. Mm. Poor them. Their bus was late, and then to pick them up, and then the bus couldn't find a spot to stop or whatever. So they were actually circling Expo for a little bit, geez. And they missed part of the first half. Luckily, they saw the goals. Like, that's great. And they saw all the great action, and they heard La Fortaleza going and the smoke, and it was exciting. I heard a lot of the parents say that they would definitely come back, or they thinking of coming back. They saw me, and they, half of them knew that we had season tickets. We were there all the time, and they started asking me about, like, where should we buy our tickets next? And I'm like, buy them wherever you want. These tickets were awesome. They are, like, they were nosebleed, the very last row on the east side. But when I was up there, I was like, dude, this view is actually pretty dope.
I saw your picture from there, and I was like, oh, this isn't so bad. I just don't want to sit in the sun ever.
The overcast came. So so luckily they weren't all like baking in the sun. There was like overcast and then it got super windy and got really cold up there, but All right. And then, like we've been doing this season, we've posted our thoughts and feelings, and definitely on the uptrend here. We got the most responses and also the most emojis we've had. So thank you for everyone that's been listening and was responding with the emojis. Alicia came with just yay and exclamation point.
So true.
Yes. Yeah. And also the first one to respond. Nicholas came with Angel Gritty FC is back. Did he say la or did he say ha?
I think he said ha ha.
Okay.
But I like la la.
Either way. We're looking better each game. Love Didi, but the distribution was concerning. That was something I messaged you in during the game where I was like, she wasn't.
That's nothing new.
Yeah, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
It's a known quantity, right? It's a known factor.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin came with just Emsley, all caps, exclamation point, right? Then we got muscle arm, we got fire, and we got the Scottish flag. Ethan, just Claire with multiple exclamation points.
I think it's five or six, yeah.
Yeah, I did copy these verbatim or like, how they were. So like, yes, there were that many exclamation points. We got a fire emoji. We got the dynamite emoji. We got the celebration emoji. We got the, which I had to look up because I had to look up what the emoji was and to type it in. it is the confetti emoji. It looks like a little dope. It's actually a ball of confetti being popped open and the confetti coming down.
That's what that is?
That's what that is. Yeah.
Oh.
And then Ethan ended it off with, need to mark defenders better on set pieces, but happy 3 points. KJ came with dancing woman in the red dress, muscle, bicep, angel wing, and soccer ball, which... Yes.
That's all we need.
Heard. Got it. Yep. Relentless ladies. Very poignant. Feeling relentless with the fist. So.
Yep. Exactly. That one felt appropriate.
Yeah. Myrna was elated. Double exclamation point. So proud of the team. Still missing Paige. We feel you. We are too. But very proud of the team. Zach came with excited exclamation point. Relieved exclamation. Also, WTH, can we stop passing to the keeper and just clear the ball? We were doing a lot of moving the ball.
We're playing from the back again, and I think a lot of us are having major season one flashbacks, and none of us like it.
Yeah.
But there's strategy there. I know.
I know.
Some of it's like time wasting, some of it's making sure the midfield and the forwards can get in the right position, but it is stressful.
Zach did continue with, also Didi looked hurt bad at that one point. There was like a point where she was down on the ground. Hope she's okay.
Yeah.
What a game for her.
Yeah.
Super.
She had a great game, but I know they were checking out her knee. I hope she's fine. I swear to God, if there's a knee, I'm hoping it's like a quote unquote strategic injury more than anything else.
She finished out the game, so
yeah, and she was running around okay. Yeah. She looked all right.
Jamie came with, my body feels like I played the full 101 minutes of that game.
Listen, so we're actually recording this on Tuesday night because we recorded a different episode last night, which I'm so excited for everybody to hear. But yesterday I felt like I got hit by a truck. Like I'm with Jamie. Jamie was in one of the capo boxes in La Fortaleza, so she was hurting. I know that much. You're standing on metal. You're like swinging back and forth. But yeah, I feel like a lot of us felt like we also played that full game.
There was a lot of relief. There was a lot of jubilation. There was a lot of everything, right? There was just a lot of feelings.
Yeah.
It was great. Jeff came with feeling like getting an Emsley jersey ASAP.
Ooh.
Jeff? I say do it. I am not a proponent of player jerseys.
I know. Mara's a no-name dude.
Yeah.
I know. I'm thinking about
it. But go for it.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Yeah. Treat yourself. And then Yessi. Feeling like we really needed this smile back on our faces after the devastating bomb that was dropped on the fans about Nielsen's trade. Expletive mad face emoji, sad emoji, and broken heart. It's a dual-edged sword comment,
yeah.
But we feel you.
It's true.
It's true.
I think if we had dropped this game, or if the team came out discombobulated or something weird, I would have been so worried. Like, morale is in the tank. Like, it's just in the gutter. But it didn't feel like that. It really felt like the team rallied together and said, okay, this has been a really hard emotional week. We're still here. Let's do it.
And I still feel Becky has the locker room. She still has.
Yeah. The team. I just want to know what's happening. Like, can they please announce a signing, a comeback, a something? I don't know. I need a something.
And then our last comment was Alejandra coming with bicep, triple clap, and bicep. So I like to imagine those two biceps being the two arms and then clapping in the middle.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so one last thing, checking out the standings. We decided that for the first week we did this, and then now we're going to be doing these every week 5, 10, 15, and 20. And then the end of the season, we're going to be doing our playoff spot standings recap. Right now in first place, we've got Current, then the Spirit.
Who are undefeated also.
Yeah. Then Chicago.
The eye roll Mario just gave me.
You know what? We gave the Courage their first loss. We'll give the current, their we'll first loss. We'll do it loss. Again. It's fine. Chicago's in third. Courage is in fourth. Pride, fifth. Racing, sixth. We're in seventh, baby. And Bay FC rounds off the playoff standings in eighth place. We're in seventh. We're still within 6 points from the top. The field is starting to spread. So 2 weeks ago, there was like a spread of like 4 points from like top to bottom. Like it was still really tight. At this point, we're starting to see the spread. And this is where we're starting to get to the point where these games really do matter. The beginning games, we can consider them an extended preseason, right? Now we're starting to get into these games are going to start adding to the spread. So right now there's a 10-point difference between top and bottom. That thing's just going to keep growing. And
yeah, absolutely.
Both the Wave and Gotham have a game in hand. They have one game less played than everybody else. But the best either one of them can do is tie us on points. And
as it stands
right now. And possibly, if they get a better goal differential, beat us. But you know what? That means we goody. That means they can't jump 10 spots ahead of us and then knock us out like we've always had issues with. Thank you. That was my rant. I feel like I needed to go
bow. All right. A bow, a curtsy. I'll give you some canned applause. All right, so getting into the nitty-gritty of Kansas City and this matchup, and I feel like we just played them 2 seconds ago because we did, but the schedule this season is weird. There's an Olympic break. It's a whole thing. Overarching situation is that Lola Bonta, Dabinia, and Nichelle Prince are all on and off the injured list right now because of stuff that's just happened in the last couple weeks. Dabinia and Labonta were active in training, and someone retweeted the tweet I saw about it and was like, no, they can sit out. They can just come back next week, which I agree with wholeheartedly. Yeah. Fine. They just should rest. Don't rush it. Rest Don't one rush more week. Those are all solid big players for Kansas City, but holy cow, can this team score?
Yeah.
With some of your big players being sidelined with big injuries, small injuries, what have you, it doesn't seem to matter, which is terrifying. I said last time we talked about them that Vlatko said, be humble in your scoring. And I was like, screw that. You can do that in BMO. You don't have to pull up and pretend your hamstring is messed up and then twerk Lola Bonta. You don't have to do that. So last time we dropped the game 4-2, we had 2 goals called back. So effectively it was a draw in my brain. I have to keep reminding myself we lost that game. But I have a feeling it's going to be a very hard-fought match. And I hope that, like, training goes well this week, recovery time goes well this week for Angel City. Like, we have to come ready on Friday. BMO has to come ready on Friday night. So, yeah. I'm, like, I hate to say this in the same way I said this about Asa Oshoala. I'm so excited to see her play with my own eyes. But oh my God, I hope you have the worst game of your life. Temwa Chawinga is a revelation. And is so great. But Sarah's going to have a workout. Megan Reed's going to have a workout. Maddie Curry. Like our whole back line, they're going to be tired. They deserve someone to take them all out to dinner. Give them massages after this game. Girls, be ready. Because y'all going to be running.
They gave Tempoa a pretty hard time the first matchup. Yeah. So I think having seen or having played against her and getting that knowledge, I think is just going to help us a little bit more. And then hopefully that just gives absolutely. Us the edge.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, we have to keep this pressure on. We are playing a lot more offensively minded from the jump, which has been very helpful the last couple games. Obviously, we pulled out 2 wins. We have to keep this going. Alyssa, like we said earlier, is getting there. She's starting to cook. She's starting to really get the feel of the ball again and feel comfortable out on the pitch. So I'm hoping, oh man, if she connects this weekend, BMO's going to just freak out. Nobody's going to know how to handle themselves. I really hope we get to see Messiah get more reps and get more minutes. I'm not sure if there's a lingering knock still or she's on limited time, but I want to see her play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just overall, we need more offensive oomph. We got it out of Claire this weekend, but we need more of it from everyone. We need to get the ball to our forwards into the attacking third. And the more we do that, the more comfortable we're going to be doing it. And the easier scoring will come. So I'm really hoping that this weekend, this last weekend was like a turn and we're on that route again. We got to see Rocky make her debut at BMO as like Angel City, not playing for Portland. So that was super exciting. When she got announced and everybody's like yelling out the last names of the players, it was significantly louder for Rocky. Significantly. It was really cool. Really, really cool to hear because we've been waiting for this. And she had a concussion and she played on the road because we were on the road for what felt like 100 years, whatever. Yeah. So for the Current, as I said earlier, they are currently undefeated, sitting at the top of the table. They have a few folks on the bench, but a few folks who are off the injured list now and coming back, one of them being Michelle Cooper. Those of you who were around last season for Hotshot Weekend of back-to-back Hotshot gifts of Alyssa and Michelle Cooper may remember her as the number two draft pick of last season or of two seasons ago. So the 2023 draft, Alyssa was our number one pick and Michelle Cooper went second. She is fantastic. She is along the same lines of Alyssa of just being an offensive player. She also just came off the injured list. So she's still simmering. She's not quite cooking yet. Hopefully we can keep it that way. like I said, all of these players are so fantastic and I want them to play well. I just don't want them to play well against my team. And that's across sport. I will love players on other teams. And I'm like, no, thanks. Not today. Just check yourself out. Go sit down. But yeah, Michelle Cooper is one to watch always. Just keep an eye on her. Even if you're watching other games when Kansas City isn't matched up against Angel City, keep an eye out for her. Michelle is number 17. She's a forward. And she will be a menace towards our defense. And whoever is in goal, if it's Dee Dee, if it's Angelina, if it's Hannah, who knows? But a menace, truly. To the defense. Another menace is Vanessa DiBernardo, another forward, number 16. She's one of those players that you feel the difference when she subs out, or you feel the difference when she subs in. The energy on the pitch changes, the team's energy changes, and it everybody kicks it up a step, which is great when she's on your team.
Yeah.
That's it.
Great for them.
Exactly. the one good thing in our favor is that she's still working on getting back to being 90 minutes fit to play the duration of the whole game. She's averaging about 65 minutes per game right now. So expect her to either sub on later or sub out around the 65th, 70th minute. But regardless, she is a menace. And if she's not scoring, I don't like it. I want my team to have a clean sheet every game. Oh my God, if we shut them out, I will probably cry. I am not emotionally stable enough for a shutout against the number one team in the league this early in the season.
If we can just give them that little notch in the L column.
I know. I want everyone to know how dangerous our team is the way we know they are. It is. And I know I said this some last season too. Like, I want people to see my team the way I see my team. Especially when we're struggling or when we're maybe not having the greatest start or a start that we anticipated. Like, I know it's all there. I know those pieces. I watched them last season.
Yeah.
All that's still there. The chemistry is still there. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, we have a fantastic outing. And then last but not least is AD French, who is their keeper of keepers, number 21. Most of you guys, I think, have seen AD in her stint with the national team or in previous Kansas City games. She's like their keeper. The way Alyssa Nair is their keeper in Chicago. AD is just bonkers in the goal. Super, super talented. Another version of a ball. in the way that Alyssa Nair and Kaylin Sheridan take up more space than it looks. Like, yeah, goal gets smaller.
Yeah, they make it look a little smaller. You're like, mm-hmm. is that a regulation size goal? Yeah. Are you sure?
Yeah, and some of that is just their energy, like the confidence that when you walk in, they're like, oh, no, you're not getting past me. It's okay, I'm sorry.
That's definitely something you need in a keeper, is like just that rock steady. Like you have 1 to 5 players barreling down at you, getting ready to kick a ball with legs that they've been training for years to just right. kick that ball hard. And you're like, go for it. You know? Like, yeah. It takes a certain amount of steel that, like, when you see that confidence in a keeper like that, you're just like, okay, yeah, no, it's scary.
Right. And that's AD. AD gives off this vibe of ice in her veins, just so chill, so at her job. She also has the most adorable family. She and her wife, they posted pictures of her wife and their kid in the 80 French fan club, like homemade shirts, a couple weeks ago, and it was the cutest thing. I'm just happy for her. She just seems really happy on and off the pitch, and it's a good environment for her there in Kansas City. And it's the kind of thing where these players have been through a lot, both on the national team and with different clubs in previous years, moving around, having things funded, having them not funded. And I'm so happy to see players who have been in league for a while actually settle into a club that's investing in their players and like in the environment. Kansas City just announced today on Tuesday that now that they have the stadium, they're now investing in, like, the ownership group is building up like high rises local to the stadium,
yeah,
multi-use buildings, all kinds of stuff. So I'm really hoping that these apartments and situations around the stadium will allow for more parking and allow for their parking situation to not be as
ridiculous. Expensive.
Yeah. And for them to offer parking permits that are discounted for their season ticket holders. Like we've said before, parking's expensive at BMO, but if you get a parking pass for the whole season, it's $20 less per game than if you buy it day of. They're hard to come by, but if you can get them, you get them. But those rates aren't set by the team. They're set by the fact that we are located on a state park. It's a whole thing. There's a lot of reasons there. But
their parking
just tripping.
The they're definitely set by the team.
Yeah. And their parking passes are not discounted. And they were like $800, which is insane. I'd be like, never mind, more than my ticket.
And they put a name on a sponsor on their supporter section. So lots of things. But you know what?
They're learning.
They're learning, but also they have results on the pitch. And that's mm-hmm. something that you can't argue with. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good yeah. job. I just hope that I said it earlier this season, but I hope that their stadium is expandable because they deserve more than whatever 11,000 people. Something like that. But yeah, that's Kansas City for you. They're great this season. They, as M Wood said when we played Chicago, like those Midwestern teams were struggling last season. Bottom of the barrel for everybody. This year is different. Very different. Players returned. Players came back. It was good. It's a good vibe for soccer as a whole.
And just to recap, that's AD French, the keeper, number 21. Vanessa DiBernardo, which is a forward, number 16, and Michelle Cooper, who is a forward at number 17. All right, let's talk home team. Who are we looking at? Who do we want to give a little spotlight to?
I'm going to start with Claire because I have enjoyed watching Claire since she started playing with us, like in season one. I think she's fun to watch. She's very crafty on the ball. But this season is different. This season looks and feels different in the way she's playing. She's playing with a different sense of urgency and a different level. Like, she's competing differently, if that makes sense. She got married in the off season. I was joking with Eva that maybe it's because wedding planning is over and she's not planning a wedding halfway across the world and she can be a little, like, stress-free in that sense. Like, it's one thing off her to-do list. Her husband is actually a chef and is on TikTok. And his recipes are great. I've made a couple. Like, he's making them very accessible. He's a very high-end chef, but makes them very accessible for home cooks. And they're very good. So if you want to know his TikTok, hit us up. I'll send it over. But yeah, this season's different. I don't know what part of her training changed, her mentality changed, whatever. It's very much a I'm going to do whatever it takes to win mindset, which I will never, or I shouldn't say never, I will very rarely have an issue with. If you're going to punch somebody in the teeth, maybe calm down. But if you're going to force a team to play you as that forward or that attacker, to play you double team you, triple team you, or cool, because all that does is open up your other team. And that's who Claire is going to become this season. A little backstory for her. She is a Scottish national team member. She's been up and down. She got her first call up, I want to say in 2015 or 2013, but because she was living here, going to school out here in the States, they were like, okay, we'll just give you time to come back. She was living in England. It was a whole thing. But she has since gotten called up many times for the Scottish national team. I believe she wears the armband occasionally. That alone says a lot about her. And the super, super cool thing is she scored Scotland's first ever goal in the World Cup in 2019 in a match against England, which Scotland won. Which, if you know anything about the United Kingdom, the British Empire, what have you, that's a big friggin' deal in soccer and out of soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. I'm just so excited to see her play this season. She's fantastic and so much fun. And the way the team has embraced her and hyped her up during the games, after games, all that. I'm very excited to see her play. That's Claire Emsley. She's number 10. She's a forward. She's gonna hurt some feelings, I think, this season, which that's fine. That is fine. And then we have Jasmine Spencer. I think she's officially listed as a forward.
Yes.
But homegirl, she can play anywhere you drop her on the pitch. She has played every position, I think, now for Angel City. Or if not, she's very close to it. She's played defense.
Just give her some gloves.
And like, yeah.
Just give
like,
her some gloves next. And that blue kit.
She's got the hops. Yeah, she honestly can play anywhere you put her. And I think we've rarely seen her in her natural position, which says a lot. She has filled in some big shoes. She was fantastic on defense on Sunday. And just... She can play anywhere. She's played every season of the NWSL. She's one of, I think, 10 players that has been in since the league started.
Yeah, she hit 175 mm-hmm. caps last match. Yeah, she's...
Yeah.
When you're talking about veteran knowledge and soccer IQ, she has it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She has it all. And she has her own clothing line that's super sustainable. She's very into environmentalism and making the world we live in better. And she just does that. I think she, like I said, she's got hops. She can jump so high. I really want to know what her vertical is. So if anybody from the training staff listens, please send it over. It's easily a 36 to a 40 inch vertical jump, at least from what I can see up in 227. But yeah, Jasmine Spencer is different. She can match up against just about anyone. She has no fear when it comes to who the matchup is. She can score, she can defend, she can clear the goal line, she can do everything. So just be prepared to see her more, probably all over the pitch, because she's just going to cover ground wherever she's located. But man, she's so cool. She's number 3. She's officially listed as a forward, but we all know she plays everything. She's an every woman. And then last but certainly not least is Megan Reed, who was our first Iron Woman in the 2022 season. She came in and filled the shoes of Sarah Gordon when Sarah Gordon went out with her knee injury, her ACL. And Megan Reed kind of came out of nowhere for the majority of people, even within the soccer community, because she was like a paramedic. She's out there saving lives, literally and figuratively. She's just kind of doing her thing. Right. She played college soccer. Yeah, she played college soccer, and then there's no real option for me to go pro. So I'm not. There's no teams out here, really. She didn't want to leave home. They just did a special on her, not before the Courage game, but the game before that. I have no idea who that game was against at this point. Gone from my brain. Chicago. That's who it was. The NWSL did a spot for her on ION, talking about losing her parents early, going into firefighting and paramedic life, and how her firehouse really rallied around her and would they play pickup soccer, and her fire chief was just like, why aren't you playing professional? What are you doing here? Why are you here with us? You're abnormal. You need to just go play professional soccer. LOL. Yeah. She gets picked up for training camp with San Diego. San Diego waves her and we say, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Megan Reed has been so clutch for this team. Very much that same clutch version of Megan Reed that we saw in the first season. Exactly who we saw on Sunday. Like, everybody misses Paige, but the skill level we didn't necessarily lose with Megan. And some of its personality, some of it's the icon of Paige Nielsen in the league, her biceps, all the things. But there's so much we get to see with Megan Reed being on the pitch. She plays differently, obviously, but she defends like crazy. She's a big foundation of our back line. So expect to see her a lot more this season. We didn't see her too much the first few games, obviously. But with that opening in the back line, expect to see her. She's number six. She's going to be hanging out right next to Sarah, probably filling in at that center back position. Yeah, Megan Reed, man.
Yeah.
Different. All these three women, different. Pee-wee Herman word of the day. Different.
So just to recap, exactly. Megan Reed, defender number six. We've got Jasmine Spencer, forward number three. And then we got Claire Emsley, forward number 10. Those are our players to keep an eye out for this next matchup. Our history between the teams to wrap it all up. How are we looking against them?
Across the years, we have 3 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss against Kansas City. Remember what I said. They were bottom of the barrel the last season and a half. They're different.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're different. That 1 loss happened 3 weeks ago. Like, but it was a very hard fought loss. It wasn't one of those where we just got steamrolled and laid down. We fought like hell for that.
Yeah. I still feel that the losses we had weren't steamrolled losses. None of them were steamrolled. No. Like there were glimpses. There was notions of things moving in the right direction. Just things just weren't quite working. And now they are. And I'm calling it, we're getting that 4th win against them on Friday.
Man, that'll be freaking fantastic.
And if they do, I'm going to be so bummed that I missed it, that I wouldn't be there. I'm going to be watching it from home. But it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. You'll listen to Isaac and Tracy. I'll be screaming and making my voice sound even raspier over the weekend.
I will most likely be listening to Isaac and Tracy while watching the Prime broadcast. Because the Prime broadcast looks good.
Yeah.
All right, so reminder of where to watch and listen. The game is on Friday, April 26th, Angel City versus Kansas City Current at home, BMO Stadium, 7 p.m. Just remember, Friday traffic, people are going to want to get home and you're going to be going away from home towards the stadium. So, like, account for traffic. Yeah. People in downtown are leaving. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to stay home like I am, the streaming TV option is going to be Amazon Prime. You can hear it on the radio with iHeartRadio. Listen to the amazing Tracy and Isaac do what I do. Sync it up with your Prime viewing and just make it that much more exciting. Also, in Spanish, it will be broadcast on 980 La Mera Mera. And once again, it's college night, so if you want that special tumbler, you're going to have a special ticket for it. Or if you're a season ticket holder, contact your rep and they can hook you up with one for however much it was. I believe it's $15. And if you like, if you've come all the way to this really long episode, probably like what you're hearing, so hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening. If you need a new place to listen to it, check out casualfc.com. We have all the pod links there on any platform you care to listen to us on. Best ways to
Speaking of iHeart, we are now officially on iHeart.
Yes.
Radio.
That's one of the pod
platforms. We went through the application process, so it's there now if you listen to anything on iHeart. Yay, we did it.
Isaac, Tracy, we'll see you at the Christmas party. Best ways to support the pod: share, comment on any post or on the actual episode on iTunes or Spotify. It's all about the engagement. It doesn't cost you anything. It takes you maybe 2 seconds after you listen to it. It helps us out and it helps more people find the pod that way. If you would like to buy some of our merch, we do have stuff at shop.casualfc.com. We've got lots of fun stuff in there. We still have our Becky Sparkles concert tour shirt. We have our Sid Bicycle Shop shirt. We have a bunch of fun stuff. More planned during the season. Don't rush us. It's hard to think of cool stuff, but we want to think of really cool stuff to actually get to you. So,
and because of the trade line, we had to scrap a whole bunch of ideas.
Yes, that too. And if you feel so inclined and want to help support the pod, you can support us by buying us a coffee. You can check out our link on socials or go to buymeacoffee.com/casualfcpod. And throw us a couple bucks. It helps us keep the lights on, as they say. Follow us on our socials at CasualFCPod on Instagram, Twitter, Threads, and TikTok. Most likely Instagram. The others will follow. And tell a friend about the pod. It brings us good luck, and we bank that and send it off to the team. It definitely worked this weekend, so we're going to do it again. Thanks, everyone. This has been a long one. And have a good night. See you on Friday. Bye.
See you Friday. We'll be right back.